Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everyone. Bob Barber here, your host here at SAT Radio. Tonight we have another contract class that we had, and we'll be hearing about contracts to non-performance. As far as any good news or any announcements, I don't have any particular ones for you right now. But if you have any questions or would like to make any comments, go ahead. I have you on the air. Anyone can speak. Actually make myself a cup of coffee right now. All right, so nobody wants to ask any questions or have any comments. Let's go ahead and just start the show.
All those who came in late because of problems trying to dial in, they can check the recording. Now, right. Last time we had somebody complained that they couldn't get to the recording. So, you know, one solution leads to another problem. I don't know why that's happening. But anyway, good morning, everybody. Let's go back to the law of contract. And I think we stopped at specific performance, correct?
Right.
Or non-performance.
Non-performance.
Now, right, non-performance. Now, non-performance is when one of the parties is not able to complete the contract. For example, you had an earthquake, and this guy was building a 10-story building. The earthquake happened. The 10-story building is now rubble. And he is not able to deliver the promised product by the 15th of September because this was the 4th of August, the earthquake came, and now he is not able to deliver. Now, as far as that contract is concerned, it cannot be performed, they call it, because of an act of God. I've often wondered why when terrible things happen, they don't call it an act of the devil. They must say it's the act of God. Have you ever thought about that?
Yep.
They blame God for everything.
Mm-hmm.
When I first came to America in 1976, I was somewhere in California. I mean, I was in San Francisco. And we went to this, in the daytime, it's a coffee shop. They only serve hot drinks and cold drinks, but no beer, no wine, no booze, nothing. And this I can't remember the place. And this guy had like 1,000 coasters. You know the coasters you keep under wet glass so it doesn't. So the coaster absorbs the
moisture.
The moisture instead of the circle appearing on the table. One of those coasters who caught my eye was this. If God exists, that's his problem. You know, and so I understood then why they call it an act of God. But anyway, coming back to this non-performance. So sometimes a contract cannot be completed or performed because of the earthquake. So now the earthquake struck builder and the earthquake shaken people all up agog, you know, and all upset. Oh, what do we do? And the fellow says, well, I could not overcome the earthquake and I'm not going to do anything. And then all the people who agreed to buy the house and put a down payment, they sue the guy. Okay? And he says, well, you know, this is what it is. I didn't expect it. Okay? Now, if you got a badly drafted complaint by a badly trained attorney, then the judge is not going to create any new ideas in the minds of the plaintiffs. So the first thing that your attorney or lawyer should have done is what? In the complaint. Okay, here are the facts. The house was about, I mean, the building was about to be completed by September 15th, as promised. August 4th, there was an earthquake. Everything is down to rubble. All the plaintiffs paid a down payment. And they're very unhappy. The builder says, well, I used all your money to build it, and you know I built it, and you know the earthquake came. I don't know what to do. I don't have any more money. I can't borrow any more money. So you get a lawyer, okay? Now, this is my question to all of you. What should your lawyer say first to justify the fact that the builder ought to bring the money in? You're not going to pay another penny. What do you think your lawyer should mention first?
Insurance.
Come on, people.
Insurance.
Thank you. You see? So now, let's go one step further. Your lawyer says, I don't care. You have to come up with the money because you are insured. Okay? Lo and behold, you find out there was no insurance. Aha! He didn't want to pay the premium because there's never been an earthquake there in 500 years. Are you with me?
Yep.
Now, this is when the judge, I mean, if he's a judge and he's not pro-business, that's another story all by itself. The judge will tell him by an order, call an order of specific performance to complete the contract, whether or not he had insurance or otherwise. Now then, the contractor says, well, through his attorney, well, I
Ronnie,
tell you what. What was that?
That's just people announcing themselves when they come in. I'll turn off that announcement.
Oh, how many do we have now?
16.
Okay. So now your lawyer does a great job, makes you a lot of promises. Oh, we got him nailed. What do you think, my dear students, the contractor will do next to escape liability?
File bankruptcy?
What do you think? He'll what?
File bankruptcy, that I think she said.
Stand by. Give me 1 minute.
Okay.
Sorry, I had to take that call. Yes. What the contractor would do, because he doesn't want to get involved anymore. He's lost a lot of money. He's not trying to cheat you. He can't get a loan. You're not going to pay another down payment because you expected him to be insured, but you did not find out. There was no meeting of minds. Probably you didn't ask that question, because if you had asked that question, you would not have invested, right or wrong.
Right.
So you see how important it is for the meeting of minds. So he goes and files a Chapter 7 to counter the court order to conduct specific performance. Case closed, you lost me, and everybody goes home cursing everybody else. Do you know whose fault it is? Whose fault do you think this whole thing is?
The attorney for the people who wanted the houses built.
Another answer? Whose fault is this?
I say it's my fault, not checking.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You did not check. You did not have a meeting of minds. Yeah. Thank you, Antoine. You did not. See, this is why it's very important in everything that you do in life, including getting married, buying a car, getting a student loan, buying a house, buying into a business, investing into everything, anything. You know, you're going on a road trip, buying a movie ticket. You know, it is all, a lot of people buy the movie ticket and they keep it in their pockets and then they throw it away. What happens after 2 days? You are dying of food poisoning because you ate some rubbish at that concessionary store. How are you going to prove that you went and saw the movie? Because you got rid of the ticket. You know what I'm talking about? Folks, so be very careful. There should be a meeting of minds. Hang on, this is an important call from the banker.
Are we still there?
Yes, we're here.
Okay.
Judge got diverted for a moment.
Oh, all right.
Well, you got back on, Ron, huh?
Thomas.
Yes.
You know exactly who is on the call, right?
Yes.
It tells you, so nobody can, like, peep in, right?
Right.
Oh, okay, that's cool. I'll keep muting. Did you just talk, tell us a story while we're late? So you have a lot of paperwork to do?
Me?
Yeah, do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Are you getting in a lot more MOUs?
Yes, we're getting more in, and I'm having some help within a couple of days to take care of the backlog.
Oh, good. Good.
And I should have the computer program up where people can enter their birth certificate records. Get all their basic records up there.
Yeah, or at least we can see what's on there, right?
Right. Well, we'll get the basic records up there, and then we'll attach the scan so they can see exactly what was sent in, if they have any doubt.
And they can update their own.
Well, they can't update the scans.
They can just add?
No, they have to replace paperwork. We're going to have to send new paperwork in.
Oh, okay. So we're just going to be able to see what's up there. That's all.
Right.
Oh, okay. That's
okay.
Good.
Okay. I'm back.
Okay, good.
That was an interesting call. Some positive things are happening, and they asked me if I could be there in half an hour. I said, nope. I have a prior engagement. They said, good. Okay. I need them more than they need me, but I had to make out like they needed me more than I needed them.
Okay.
But let's finish with this court, this specific performance thing. So I think most of it now, what all mistakes you and I have done over the years, you know, in the heat of the moment, in the excitement of the moment, in the passion of the moment, good sense departs. So we got to be very careful. If you, well, there's one guy who has always my service this, you may want to write it down.
Ready.
If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Very simple rule of thumb. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Makes sense, doesn't it?
Right.
I mean, take for example a major transaction like purchasing a home. You know, it's a major transaction because for the next 30, 40 years, you're going to be paying a certain amount of time, come hell or high water. You got to pay that monthly mortgage, the debt grip. It's a major transaction. Heck, even judges and lawyers who don't understand real estate law, they get trapped into this. I was telling Judge Philip Gutierrez in California one time, we were playing golf and he was making out like he knew a lot, but he was smart. He framed a question with a statement. But he did not know that he was a monkey and I was a gorilla. So I framed my statement in a question. And finally, I told him, look, quit beating around the bush, okay? You're in trouble, aren't you? He said, yeah. I told him then, look, I said, you're in trouble because you are giving judgments that are unconstitutional. You can lose your license, man. In California, they got a dastardly law called California Civil Code 2924, subsection 1. Any monkey can come with a court paper, with a piece of paper issued by a monkey of a court clerk, because it's a non-judicial foreclosure state, and with a stupid stamp, you can make a stamp. You can go and attach it, and you can foreclose and take a copy of that to the stupid pot-bellied sheriff. He'll come and throw you out. But all this happened because you did not pay attention to yourself. So Google California Civil Code 2924 and you will see the law says the forecloser need not even have a copy of the holder in due course evidence that he is entitled to foreclose on you. He need not have a title. He need not have a holder in due course document. They can just come and foreclose on you. And what are you going to do? You're going to go and hire an attorney. What's he going to do? He's going to do nothing. He's going to take your money and do nothing. But I'm telling you, and I tell everybody who come to me, I said, did you ask all these questions? No. But judge, you know, they told me that you can keep me in the house. Yeah, I'm keeping you in the house 5-6 years. Don't have to pay the rent. Live for free. We can fight them. State court, federal court, fight them in tribal court, in an ecclesiastical court. The law is on your side, but the judge is not. The judge is not on your side. He's on the side of the banker. He's financed by Wall Street. Yeah, but judge, it's your duty to keep me in the house. No, it was your duty to go and make a mistake. Now the guillotine has fallen. You want me to go and lift up the guillotine? Not a problem. I can lift up the guillotine, but guess what? Your head is in the basket. We can prove the fraud. We can prove mortgage fraud. We can prove the non-disclosure a la Jesse Nosky versus Countrywide LLC. We can prove a lot of things. We can prove unjust enrichment. But you never asked those questions during the consensus item, the meeting of minds. You did not ask those questions 10 years ago. Now, after the fact, you come and tell me, let's do something. Yeah, we can do something. The law is on your side, but the judge ain't. What can we do, judge? Arrest the judge. What? Citizens arrest. What? Second Amendment. What? We the people, in order to create and form, in order to form a more perfect union. We the people. What do we the people do? Continue to make mistakes? Continue not to ask the right questions? Always remember, the printed word is a conveyance of an idea from one mind to another. You don't know what he meant. He don't know about you. He doesn't know how smart or stupid or dumb you are. You look at a piece of paper and you say, oh, okay. You don't even understand what it says. So always remember, meeting of minds. Even if you don't, you can't read, if you're illiterate, it doesn't matter. Okay, I'm buying this car. Okay? What happened? I don't know the law, but I want to know the facts. Okay. What happens if I lose my job after 5 years? What happens? Oh, I don't know. I suppose this is a fella. He's trying to sell a car. And when he says, I don't know, what should you be doing? You're not having a meeting of minds. You should ask him, can we talk to somebody who may know? What happens? I buy a car, I buy a house, and I don't have, I lose my job, I can't pay. What happens? Someone said you have mortgage insurance. I've never seen one in the U.S. I've seen one in Malaysia, Singapore, Cambodia, Vietnam, China, Hong Kong, India, Indonesia. I've not seen mortgage. I'm not even sure if there is mortgage insurance. What about car insurance? Oh, yeah, third-party comprehensive, first-party PIP, you know. What about if you cannot pay the car loan? Is somebody willing to extinguish the debt? Hello, think about that. Don't you think that'll be a good business? Think about that. 350 million people in America. 80 million are children below the age of 21. That's about 220 million people buying a car. Think about that for a while. 220 million. Let's just talk about that for a while, folks. Sometimes I hear people telling me, oh, judge, I'm broke. I don't know what to do. Think about this for a while, okay? We're still talking about non-performance. Think about that. I'm talking about non-performance of your mind. 220. Okay, let's just make it easy. 200 million people buy a car. I've checked this out, by the way. Actuaries tell me that maybe 100 million may not be able to pay the will not be able to complete the contract. They can't perform the contract because they either lost their job or they are credit criminals, okay? So there's 200 million people, okay? Take out your pens and write this down. Take out your pens and put the word, write down 200 million. 200,000,000. Are you with me?
Yep.
Everybody with me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay? Right. Multiply that by $50.
Oh. 5 billion.
Okay? Multiply that by $50. What do you get?
It's a 5 billion.
Hold on a minute. 2 times 5 is 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Oh,
right. 9 zeros after 10.
Three, six, nine.
How much is that, folks?
Ten billion.
That's 10 billion.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
10 billion.
One billion.
Say again?
I guess it's 10 billion.
No. 200 million people multiplied by $50 each per month.
That's $1 billion, right? No. That's 10 billion.
No. 2 times 5 is 10.
Yeah.
Then add 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 zeros after that.
Right.
That's 10 billion.
That's what I said. Oh, you can hear me.
All right. Moving on. Trust me, it's 10 billion. All right. Now, assuming the first month we take the 10 billion and put it into a PPP, Antoine is listening. I can hear him listening.
Huh.
That multiplies 5 times, you get 50 billion. Are you with me?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Listen. 2 months down the line, 100 million people are not able to pay their car loans. Okay? You now have 50 billion multiplying, because 100 million will keep on paying $50 a month. You understand?
Yes.
Now, here comes the beautiful part. They didn't pay the car loan, and neither did they pay you the $50. Are you with me? So now, they have violated that contract with the car dealership and violated the contract with you. But you're multiplying the money. 100 million decided not to pay you and pay for this car loan. Now, you tell me how you can go broke. And nobody in America is offering this service. I'm talking non-performance, folks.
Mm.
I'm talking non-performance. But while talking non-performance, I'm talking an insurance by car owners who are unable to pay their monthly payments to the car dealerships. You see that?
Yes.
So this is something that some of you may want to look at. Offering insurance for people who can't pay. And keep it low. We need to attract a lot of people because we're keeping it at $50. 1,000 people may pay the $50 and say, I'm ready. No, you're not ready yet. You need a minimum 100 million people to sign up. Heck, we can't even get 1,000 people to sign up for COLB. How are you going to get a million people to sign up for this? In other parts of the world, they sign up on the spot. When you go to buy a car, see, this is why I like to live in this part of the world. You know, America calls this part of the world third world countries. I've been to a restaurant here, some high-class restaurants. There is a menu, there's no price. So people don't come and eat like a king and pay $2 and walk away. They pay what they think is fair. So if 500 people come to eat, they pay good money, there'll be about 5 or 10 cheapskates who'll come and eat for $100 and pay $10 and walk away. Maybe even do a takeaway. But that's just life, you know. You got the haves, the have-beens, and the have-nots. We're still on the same subject, folks. Specific performance. So, we'll talk about that another day, another time. But let's talk about non-performance. So there are times when non-performance becomes a reality. Like, for example, in COLB, I've often wondered about what happens if paper money crashes. I mean, it's already happened in Greece, and they're trying to grease the palm, no pun intended, you know, of the EU. They want to do their own thing. They want to break away from the cabal. Suddenly, there's no talk anymore about Greece. CNN doesn't talk about it. They don't know how to ask the right questions. Mm-hmm. And this fellow with, I call Richard Quest, comes there and states the obvious. The questions asked by the anchors are so stupid. You know, nobody knows what's happening. One guy even was intelligent enough to call me and say, "What's going on, Judge?" I said, "What's going on where?" "In Greece." I said, "Nothing. The Mediterranean waters are still blue. The island of Skopios and Rhodos, where I used to do water skiing 30 years ago." "Oh, no, I meant the money crisis." I said, "Well, what do you think? Why are you asking me? What do you think is happening?" So we talked this through. He didn't know anything. I mean, he's only a lawyer. And why should he know anything, right? Yeah, he's a lawyer. He's a corporate lawyer. Oh, yeah. He's another champion who'll ask me a question and stating a statement. And my normal answer is, first get 3 onions, get a couple of cloves of garlic, get a couple of ginger, start slicing it thin. And they listen to me and say, "What are you talking about, Judge?" "I'm talking about making chicken curry." "Oh, because I'm explaining he don't understand the point of talking. Let's talk about making a curry, chicken vindaloo or chicken tikka masala, you know." Anyway, so remember, folks, after asking all the questions and after a meeting of minds, there is always this nagging doubt. What is that nagging doubt? Can this contract be performed? I bought a house when I'm 50. I got to pay for the next 30 years. I'll be retiring at the age of 65. Ooh, I can pay for 15 years. And then when I'm 80, you know, with diabetes, hypertension, high blood pressure, maybe. Maybe not. I'm going to be paying and paying and paying and paying. In the meantime, after building up equity, I'll get a phone call. "Hello, Mr. Jones. Did you know that you have $80,000 worth of equity in your house?" And then you say, "Yeah. Wow. Did you know, Mr. Jones?" Is Mrs. Jones there? And I know she wanted that extension to the kitchen. "Yes? Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, Mr. Jones, I'm going to make you a deal. Why are you doing this?" "Well, we have this, what's known as this pre-Christmas mood. I'm going to make you a deal, sir. We're going to lend you $50,000 at 2% interest based on your equity." And then you say, "Say what?" "We're going to lend you $50,000. I tell you what I'm going to do, Mr. Jones, because you're asking all the right questions. I'm going to make it 1.75 interest We're going to lend you the $50,000 to go ahead and do that extension that your wife wanted. You can even take $80,000, Mr. Jones, because you have $80,000 worth of equity. I tell you what I'm going to do, because it's before Christmas. I'm going to make it 1.25% interest. How's that? Now you think that you are the smartest monkey in the world, and you agree. Do you know what you have just done? Hello?
Somebody called me.
What?
You actually put more time on your mortgage, and now you're paying out even more money to the bank.
Well, the equity was already yours from the start. This is Shirley.
Come on, people. You're almost there. Warm. What did you do? Someone said you dug yourself deeper in a hole. How?
You entered into another contract, a new contract.
No. Think.
Yes, can you hear me?
Mr. Jones, this is mine. Call me Ty. I'm just calling to let you know. By the way, I'm from this ABC Bank. And you've got $80,000 worth of equity, sir, in your house. Did you know that? Oh, I didn't know that. Well, I tell you what, this is a pre-Christmas thing. You can borrow $40,000 at 2% interest. Wow. I tell you what, Mr. Jones. Why don't you borrow the whole amount and I'll cut it down to 1.25. I'll have to talk to my boss. Not a problem. But you can borrow $80,000 and you can build that extension for your wife. Thank you, Mr. Jones. You'll think about it. I'm going to send you an email. What went wrong here? Tell me, people. Come on.
You lost all his equity.
Beg your pardon? What did you say?
He lost all his equity.
How did you lose all your equity? Good answer.
Because he borrowed against it and leveled out the equity paid in.
Thank you. Gita.
It's a lien.
Gita Merritt said it beautifully. It's your equity. Why are you borrowing against your own money? It's your money. You can take that money out.
So if it's your money and you want to take it out there, Dr. Jason.
Listen, folks. You buy a house, okay? Now, there is a cycle every 10 to 15 years of a boom and a bust. Okay? They call it a pull or a bear. All right? Bullish market or a bearish market. Now, you must follow the trends, all right? Now, as the trend is going up, like the first house I bought in the United States was worth $80,000 way back in 1980-something. Now, by 2003, that house was worth close to $440,000. So at one time there was a boom, then there was a bust. In 2008, my house was worth $380,000. But now my house is worth $600,000. All paid for, rented out. Instead of keeping money in a bank, I got a large amount of money, I go buy a house. Why would you want to go and put the money in the bank? That idiot pays you so much of interest when you can collect rent, $2,000-$3,000 a month. Okay? Why is Shirley muted? She wants to know.
I don't see her muted.
Okay. Anyway, do you have a question? Pop in. Now, coming back to this, it's your equity.
She is muted, but she must have muted herself.
Okay.
I'm muted.
All right. Let me continue here with my train of thought. It's your equity. Your equity is building up because you didn't think about it, because you didn't know about it, because you did not ask about it, because you did not have a meeting of minds. This idiot calls you and fools you into borrowing your own money. And guess what? Guess what? You're not only paying a dumb interest, you're paying back principal as well.
Mm.
Think about that. And you know what's the worst thing? Your equity is building up and you don't even have access to it. Why? Because you didn't ask that question during the meeting of minds during the meeting of minds to face. Whose fault is it? Yours. So all those of you out there with homes, yes? Yes, someone trying to say something?
Yeah, so if this is Jason. So if you didn't know about that, because again, they're not teaching you or informing you of your of these particular things, and then say, gee, I'd like to get access to my equity without paying for it, can you do so after they sign the contract?
What do you think I'm talking about? When was the last time anyone as a homeowner called a stupid lender and said, hey, how much is my equity? All right. I want all of it. When was the last time you said that? Talk to me.
I've never had to ask that.
You never
house.
Did that because you didn't know.
No.
Well, call them today. Call them today. Get them in a conversation. But be careful. Be careful how you talk to them. Because they'll go back to your contract. What does your contract say? Aha! It doesn't say anything. Aha! Why? Because you didn't ask. Whose fault is it? Yours, Jason. Not theirs. You didn't ask. This is America. Land on a hill. Beacon on a hill.
Well, that's really going with everything. Now, if you don't ask, they won't tell you. And if you do ask, they have to tell you. But again, they don't even have to tell you, even when you do ask, because when you do ask them, they ignore you. Back to you.
The meeting of minds can happen when your mind meets with the truth. And then you engage them in a conversation or you write to them and tell them, look, I have this much of equity under the Home Ownership Equity Protection Act. Title 15, Section 1639. Are you all writing this down? Home Ownership Equity Protection Act. Title 15, Section 1639. Check the law. Check the law. Engage them in a QWR sort of a situation. They don't answer. You sue them. Don't wait for them to sue you. The moment you sue them, you don't have to pay your mortgage. QWR. Hello? That's federal law. QWR. Remember that. Qualified written request. 12 United States Code, Section 2605. Huh? QWR. QWR. Let me write that down for you. 12. United States Code, Section 2605.
You said something about Title 16, I believe. Could you type that as well, please?
Title what?
I think you said something about Title 16.
Oh, Title 15.
Title 15, I'm sorry. Could you type that in as well?
Yeah.
Thank you.
HOEPA, Home Ownership Equity Protection Act. The qualified written request is 12 United States Code, Section 2605E1B. E1B. HOEPA, Home Ownership Equity Protection Act. Don't ask me to type it out. Home Ownership Equity Protection Act, 15 U.S.C. Section 1639.
Repeat that again, sir.
I have typed it there. Well, look at tribal law text board. 15 U.S.C., 15 U.S.C., section 1639. Read the whole thing. You won't understand what it is, but read it 10 times. Read it 20 times. Read it 25 times. You get fed up about it, call me. Then I'll make you fed up. You got to know what you got to know. This is America. At least that's what they tell me. So use your rights. Invoke your rights. Make trouble. You got equity in your house you didn't even know? Find out. Oh, I got $12,000 equity. Thank my address. Send me a check. And let's see what they say. That equity is yours. Why are you letting them multiply your equity? Hello? How many mistakes can we do in one lifetime? Oh, they are the government. They can do whatever they like. No, you are the government of people. We the people, we are more than them. We are even more than the armed forces. Or the police force. Our problem is we cannot come together. We don't think enough. We got holidays to enjoy, picnics to go, barbecues to attend, weekends to look forward to. No time for study. No time for reflection. Not my fault. Sorry, folks, that's up to you. Take the bull by the horns, chop it heads off. Get your equity back. Pass the word around. There are 210 million homeowners in America. Come on. Do something, folks. Why are you letting Wall Street build a wall around itself? Break that wall down, Mr. President. Bring down that wall. Mr. Gorbachev, bring down that wall. Come on, guys. Let's demolish the wall. We do nothing. I mean, look at this. I'm virtually offering free law classes. You only pay when you get paid. And how many do we have? We don't even have 50 people signed up. Nobody is in it. Nobody cares anymore. I'm giving you solid stuff. So I challenge you to think and do something about your life, professional and business and personal. Pass the word around. Sign up. Learn. You know, we need people power here. It's not about me making $30,000 per person who signs up. That's in the future. Not even asking for it now. I want to embolden you. I want to empower you. I want to enable you. I want to encourage you. I want to educate you. I want you to explore. I don't want you to endure. I want to embolden you. And 9 o'clock, Tom calls me and says, we got 8. Oh, we got 11. We got 15, we got 16. Some people can't dial in. Spread the word around. Spread the word around, folks. Get people excited. You know, America is the only place where you can create wealth because we are a nation of ideas. Okay? We got lots of things we can do. There are people who are buying cars and can't afford to pay. Why don't we give them payment failure insurance, inability to pay insurance, disability to pay insurance? Heck, there's disability insurance. The government is in business with the workmen's compensation. Why aren't private people doing this business? Talk to me.
Well, I just a thought. If everyone
if they had that insurance, someone to pay their mortgage because and whatever excuse they're going to give, I'm not paying my mortgage, I have insurance. Would the insurance company go bankrupt? Back to you, doctor.
Why would it go bankrupt?
Well, if people started to use the mortgage non-payment insurance,
yeah,
would the insurance company go out of business?
You think the insurance companies are dumb?
No.
They are smarter than God, I'm told. They know whether you have actually lost your job. When you say, I've lost my job, my wife has lost the job, they will do a due diligence. And if they know you're fighting, they'll put a Mareva injunction on your house. What is a Mareva injunction? You won't be able to sell the house. They'll put a lien on your house. You think they are dumb? I've handled insurance companies all my life. You got to be 10 steps ahead of them. When I started, I was one step ahead of them. You know what was the key? Meeting of minds. That was the key. So 27-year-old lawyer, when I learned the why things go wrong, people don't ask. And I used to be a pain in the neck when I'm going to buy a car. I'll ask so many questions, the guy will look at me and say, please already, Mr. Naidu, you want to buy a car, you want to bust my chops already. Come on, you know. And I'll tell him, hey, you think this money fell from like manna from heaven? I earned it. I have to ask you that question. If you're not willing to answer the question, I'll walk next door. If you want to buy a car, go to Cal. If you want to buy a car, go to Cal. If you want to buy a car, if you want to buy a car, if you want to buy a car, go to Cal. Remember that? Cal Worthington. We're back in the 70s. You remember that?
Sadly, yes, I do.
This is a guy who will be playing with monkeys, gorillas, tigers, snakes, with a cowboy hat, and he'll be playing with a hat with the animal. The animal ready to kill him, eat him, whatever, scratch him, and blah blah blah. And his hat is going everywhere. His hair is tousled, and he'll say, "Hey, folks, this Cal. Let me get this. Hey, you want to buy a car? Come to Cal, okay? Very popular." Yeah, I used to go there and bust his shops. So, always remember, folks. Always remember. Ask as many questions as you can. One time I went into a restaurant and said, hey, what do I get? What will you do for me if I get food poisoning? Oh, whether this meat is contaminated or not. And one guy gave me a good answer. Sir, when in doubt, stay out. I said, that's a line I used to use. He said, you're Mr. Naidu, right? I said, yeah. Well, I recognize your voice. And I'm using your own line. So that made me think. And I stopped eating meat outside of my home. If I'm not cooking it, I ain't eating it. So, dietary laws are equally important. Look at Leviticus chapter 11. Tells you what to eat, what not to eat. They don't talk about LDL and HDL and cholesterol, but God had a reason to say, don't eat this and don't eat that. There was a meeting of minds in the spirit world. Do we have a meeting of minds in the physical world? Think about these things, folks. Think about these things. We'll have to open the floor now for questions, statements, concerns, because performance, non-performance, specific performance is a very important area before we go deeper and deeper into contract law, because everything you do when you wake up in the morning, you're dealing with the contract law. You turn on your light, you're dealing with contract law. What if the utilities don't give you light or air conditioning?
Hey, Jason, well, you have a lot of background noise.
Me?
Yes. It's not consistent, but there can be quite a bit, yes.
Okay. Questions?
Oh, one that's occurring to me, I'd sure love to have a list of all the questions I'm supposed to ask. All the things that can go wrong with contracts.
Anything can go wrong with it. The moment you wake up and turn on the light, things can go wrong.
Dr. Nandu, a lawyer, a patron hires a lawyer to do a lawsuit. He was getting X amount of dollars. As soon as he signed the release, the attorney was supposed to do follow-up filings of other papers. As soon as the client signed the papers, the lawyer dropped the client, saying, "Well, I'm not your lawyer anymore. Goodbye." What does the client do to get back at this nefarious lawyer who was said he was going to file papers and threw him out to the curb?
Well, did the client pay the lawyer in the first instance?
Well, it was on a lawsuit,
The client hires the attorney, and the attorney drops the client. Obviously, the client didn't pay the attorney. It happens all the time.
Well, what happens is the client was in a lawsuit. The lawyer completed the lawsuit and was supposed to file the papers. But as soon as the paper was signed, he signed the papers to get the money from the insurance company. The lawyer dropped them. So I'm not doing anything more for you, even though he had more work to do with them.
Jason, is this a hypothetical question, or it really happened in real life?
It happened in real life to one of my friends.
I need all the facts. The facts are very sketchy.
Okay.
I can't answer the question. There's got to be a reason why the lawyer dropped the client. Usually, it's because the client did not pay. And the client broke his promise. So the lawyer decides, all right, that's it. And the lawyer puts a lien on the judgment, whether it's favorable or unfavorable.
Okay, I'll have to find more information from my friend.
Yep.
Thank you.
Anything else, folks? How many do we have, Tom?
Let's see. 24.
Oh, lovely. 24 people. No questions? No concerns? Read up your deed of trust, your sale and purchase agreement.
Okay.
Okay, Shirley is trying to ask a question. Why don't you unmute yourself?
Unmute yourself with *6.
Go ahead, Shirley. What's your question?
She's not muted here.
Okay.
But she muted her phone.
I don't know. She's typing something here.
Okay.
I don't know what's a technical glitch, but we'll find out. Okay. Why you keep asking this question, Shirley, and I answered you. Does the promissory note have cash value? Which promissory note, Shirley? The one that you signed to enter the law class, or what? She's still typing. I don't know why she is not able to unmute herself.
Oh, well, she has a clear connection here. She either has a mute button on her phone or there's something wrong with her line.
She's still trying to, she's asking me a question. Does the promissory note have cash value? I've
can
answered
you hear me?
Not.
Can
yeah,
you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
George, I'm not talking about the CLD. I'm talking about the promise. Okay, when you when we go into the bank, whether we it's for a loan for the borrower, for whether it's a house or a car, my question is, we sign a promissory note. Does that have cash value? Does that have cash value?
1,000% yes.
Okay. That's what I got. Let me finish my next question on that. Okay, I got another question coming after that. Okay, thank you. I just need to get that answered. Thank you, Judge.
Okay. This is why we got this program going where your car loans, credit card loans, your insurance policy payout, your home equity mortgage, student loans and credit card loans, what have you. There's a program where you can get paid twofold once the IBOE is purchased. We have that program too. Okay, anything else, folks? If not, I'll wish you adieu. Thank you. Good night. Good day. Yeah.
Okay, so my other question is, okay, so you go to the bank as a borrower, and then the question is that does the bookkeeper entry prove that the borrower provided the actual cash value to fund the bank loan or the check that the lender gives back, which is?
Do you take the trouble to read the contract?
Yeah.
And the promise and the terms of the promissory note? Did you get to read it?
Yeah. Judge, I understand what you're saying, but I tell you what, Judge, I'm going to send you something what I've been studying. I just want to get your input on it, okay?
Okay.
Because I hear you saying that we should take a lot of the blame, but you know now that I understand a little bit more about how this promissory note works, they're creating money out of thin air. So we gave them something that was out from the beginning, and they never created the money.
They are always trading money using your debt as an asset.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, that's why Fitch and Moody's and Standards and Poor and Dun and Bradstreet, they do corporate credit ratings, you know, so your credit rate, then your Better Business Bureau thing. All this improves your chances of getting a loan. I mean, look at how the Erie Canal was built. By Clinton DeWitt, governor of New York, way back in 1820. He had everybody contribute 50 cents, a dollar, $10, $20, $50, put it into a private placement program way back then. Don't forget, Pingala and Fabio Nacci had invented profit way back in the 8th century and the 13th century. Clinton DeWitt built the Erie Canal, not with government money. Hello? He's the one who started the NYSB, New York Savings Bank. Huge, roaring success. And everybody thought Sony, S-O-N-Y, was a Japanese company. Standard Oil, New York. Thank you very much. Next question.
This is Jason. If the United States is a corporation, and they are basically providing its people with consumer fraud as far as services, can the people sue the government for failure to provide adequate services to their enslaved
Jason, taxpayers? Jason, you should know the answer to that question.
Well,
you asked, can the people sue? What do you think is the answer for that?
They can.
The answer? No. Is suing the answer?
I don't know. I would think it would be an answer because they'd have to come and answer the question of the litigation that would be put forth in a in a point.
And do you think you're going to win? Do you think you're going to win when you sue them?
Anything's possible.
Now, what do you think? I've got to ask you, answer this question. Are you familiar with 18 United States Code Section 1346?
No, I'm not.
Write that down.
What was that again?
18 United States Code Section 1346. You know what is that?
No, I have to look it up, sir.
Yeah. Intangible right of an individual to expect honest services from the government. And then you go sue them. And which judge is going to be listening to the case? A government judge. What are your chances of winning? Zero. Why don't you use the Second Amendment, Seventh Amendment, go and arrest the bloody idiot with 300 people? Oh, yeah, well, we don't have even 30 people, Judge. Goodbye, see you all later. Get three onions, get some garlic, make some chicken curry. Forget about it. Because nobody's interested.
So in the retrospect for that aspect, you can't, they're not going to permit legitimacy, they're not going to set justice in their courts, because if they commit justice, the entire building of...
Listen, you get me 300 people ready to arrest these judges, then we're talking. This suing these monkeys is as useless as throwing used tennis balls at a speeding tank coming after you with guns blazing. Well, what's the point of suing this? You got to arrest them. I cannot emphasize that enough. Nobody does it. We talk, and we talk. We do nothing. We are like the Cherokees. Hello, Cherokees. If you're listening, I'm talking bad about you. You scared people, scared out of your nerves. They stole your land, Cherokee. Are you listening, Cherokee? I'm talking about you. Sue me for defamation. I can prove that you're afraid, Cherokee. People talk and talk and talk, but they do nothing. Then they want to know why nothing is happening. Because you didn't arrest the stupid judge. Didn't arrest the sheriff. You didn't get the kind of publicity you should have got. Nowhere have we heard a private citizen or a group of private citizens arresting sheriffs, cops, and judges. We just talk. We ask questions. But we do nothing. Sick of it, folks. Sick of it. Okay, if there are no more questions.
Judge, I have a question. We have a phone number that for the law enforcement, this is Shirley Stewart, law enforcement here in the DMV District, Maryland, and Virginia. The number is 1-844-POLICE-9.
Okay. Pass it out to everybody in tribal law. I don't think even 50 people have signed up, Shirley.
I know that's right. I don't know what the problem is, Judge.
I know. Paul Murray doesn't call me. He doesn't contact me. I wrote the legal aspect of the manual. He's supposed to write the physical aspect of the manual. Nothing came back. All we do is talk.
You should be getting some from us this week, Judge. We had a call on that today.
Okay. Like I said, all we do is talk. That's all we do. We're very good at that. That's the reason I left. I don't intend to come back. All we do is talk. Talk, talk, talk. We do nothing. All right, folks, any more questions?
Dr. Ed and Jason, where is the information to join the police force, the constitutional police?
Contact Shirley Stewart. You guys exchange phone numbers and emails, and she's online.
What's your name, Jason?
Yeah, it's Jason Shirley.
Give me your number. Jason, can I have your number?
Yes, it's 201.
Okay.
240.
Okay.
5351. Shirley, can I have your number?
Yes, 703.
704.
2466.
2466.
Yes.
Okay, we'll call that after the session. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, people. Goodbye.
Thank you, Judge.
Bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow. What a great class tonight. Judge kind of gets you all excited. Comes up with these words, combination of words, get you laughing. Anybody have any questions or like to make any comments about this show tonight? Or you have any, you know, anything you'd like to say? Go ahead. You're on the air. Yeah, bourbon and ginger, please. Okay, well, since there's no comments or anything, I'll just close out the show tonight and come in with the third law class tomorrow. So it'll be the third one out of six. See you tomorrow. You all have a good night.